Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It's July 9th, 2025. What a week we have. Let's just mention right now, AEW Dynamite. We're talking about that. Thursday, AEW Collision. Thursday, TNA Impact, which is apparently working on getting a new TV deal. Friday, SmackDown, ROH Supercard of Honor. Saturday, NXT Great American Bash. AEW All In. WWE Saturday Night Main Event. Sunday, WWE Evolution. And then we just start it right back up. Monday, Raw. Tuesday, NXT. Wednesday, AEW. So on and so forth. I fly out in about 14 hours to Dallas, Texas. I am very excited to meet so many of you. A quick reminder, this week from our Monday show through Evolution, any super chats that get donated, I will personally match for the GoFundMes of some of the lives lost in the tragic floods in Texas. So please, if you all would get your super chats, get your humper chats in, we would greatly appreciate that. Also, if you want to donate to the GoFundMe directly, you can do that. Just send me a screenshot of such and we'll get your super chat, humper chat read. The gentleman to my, whatever direction you're looking at, honestly, I don't know what the hell the directions are. Alex Palowski. Usually you can see him on post NXT here on AEW's post show, but also over on FightfulSelect.com. But he is calling the post show for AEW All In this week. I do not feel like I will get as many "why the hell did you put these two on this review" comments after AEW All In.
Well,
but I will be.
There's one very specific thing at the end of the show that they have to do in order for me to praise it. Everything else, like, we'll see. But that's a very, very big one, John.
Yeah. Yeah. We have just a, I don't even know what word to use, an orgy, a gangbang of content this week. That's what we have. I interviewed Kevin Knight. It came out today. Zilla Fatu for this weekend's House of Glory. I did a special video on what is creative control in wrestling. And then
your boy
had his story confirmed by Tony Khan. That whole media call, it's up. I'll be at the show sending in shorts, all that good stuff. Over on In the Weeds, they had Blake Christian on the show today on Fightful Overbooked. Got a lot. The gentleman at Grapsody on their channel spoke to Adam Cole this week. Just an incredible amount and definitely a tough week for the "yeah, but who could you possibly talk to" crowd. But it's not a tough crowd for FightfulSelect.com subscribers, just $5.99 a month, less than $64 a year. I have a Q&A article up every day. I do a Q&A podcast every week. Grapsity does one every 2 weeks. I've got an exclusive Discord over there where I chat with you guys about the show. And we dropped, like, I think 3 or 4 AEW stories today, including some that came true in pretty quick order. Yesterday, we had news on the Wyatts and 2K, which is going to be quite emotional for a lot of people, honestly. Unreleased Bray Wyatt footage going to be featured there. Halloween Horror Nights, I got to say, that's a pretty cool co-opting WWE is doing. But I also dropped a Quick Picks podcast today. We are thinking of new ways to give you guys content nonstop. But I can tell you one way that I have tried to give you guys content, and that's by asking my esteemed co-host, who's barely got to speak so far, to interview Freddie or review Freddie Got Fingered. Mike sends a super chat, $10 Canadian, which is about 32 cents USD, correct, and says, "Watch Freddie Got Fingered and laugh for the whole 90 minutes. It is so incredibly ahead of its time and definitely the best bad movie I've ever seen. Please watch, review it for the people, Alex."
I just need my puppet, Sean. I just need my puppet. I just need a puppet, a custom puppet that looks like me, and also one for Kate. And then we'll review whatever you want. Like,
by the way, Kate will be reviewing the show with you on Saturday.
And then she will be reviewing Evolution on Sunday night with Cresta.
With Cresta.
Because probably a sausage fest would be bad for that one. You like, let's get the women reviewing the women. That should be good.
I will do a special weekend wrap up at some point on FightfulSelect.com. Just a little bit more for your money, guys. Just a little bit more for your money. But yeah, if you're watching now, leave a thumbs up, leave a comment on the video. I want to thank our great sponsors, NordVPN and MyBookie. But listen, everybody, hit me up with some affordable custom puppet options.
Listen, already I went from $1,000 cash to a custom puppet, yeah, which is about half that. So I've already dropped my asking price by 50%. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to look into it because this might be worth me personally doing. And Tom LaValle says puppets. Can you be frightful for one day only on Halloween? I think we have some frightful shirts, and if we don't, we should.
We should, we should like change the logo for Halloween only to put the R in there.
We do have some "The Weather Outside is Fightful" shirts as well on shop.fightful.com. I'm going to work on those. Listen, it took a long time for us to get a lot of stuff done. We launched literally a TikTok, a new social media strategy, 3 Espanol platforms, all kinds of stuff. So it's been behind. Bill says, "Shuffer Sean's purchase of a thesaurus, a gangbang." Listen, buddy, at this point, your boy has a lot of Twitter followers. We're made. We're good. I want you to subscribe to Select. You could have just subscribed to Select with this or gifted a subscription. It would have been more appropriate. I'm not giving up my vernacular here. The people demand puppets. Well, what will happen if they demand them?
I don't know. But if you don't give them to me, they will be demand.
If they demand them, it means that they're not mad over it. So, like, this sounds like a great thing.
Yeah, demand, yeah.
Yeah. Get your super chats, get your humper chats in, guys. We kicked off this AEW Dynamite show, which, by the way, I'm going to be sending in news to Alex and Kate, like, as things go along throughout the evening. So you're going to have a lot of exclusive news on that show. But Toni Storm, Mercedes Moné, final face-to-face. Mercedes, who was confirmed as not having creative control. For those of you who don't know the difference between creative control and creative input, they are not the same. And also, just so you guys know, for those that say, well, she's never told no, and she dictates her own creative. I specifically also said, oh, Tony, and for the people that don't seem to know the difference between creative control and creative input, can you please also comment on the idea that she dictates her creative? It's going to make an interesting point when Mercedes Moné loses to Toni Storm on Saturday, Alex, because this is a MyBookie lock pick for your boy.
I mean, isn't that what Tony Khan would say if she did have creative control? Come on, Sean, read between the lines, buddy.
You know what I love? You know what I love? It's no, Sean is covering it up for them. He doesn't want the far more interesting and financially rewarding story of a top star in wrestling having and yielding and perhaps abusing creative control that would result in a number of more stories. No, what he wants is to lie to the audience and possibly risk the integrity of his entire career for a person that he's never spoken to. But let's just say it was a conspiracy, right?
Uh-huh.
That somehow myself and Tony Khan and now Mercedes to not re-debunk this in Monet Mag or anything like that, like she always does, and Rev Pro and New Japan and Rocky Romero, who confirmed it to me as well, and five people that she's worked with, by the way, people in the production team, people on the writing team, coaches in AEW.
That's what makes it a conspiracy, Sean. Because all of these people are working together to work you, dirt sheet boy.
Yes. They couldn't keep from me. They couldn't keep from me that that Gabe Gidd was going to be at this show tonight. But that is the one.
Yeah.
That's the one that is the elaborate secret. And I saw some people saying, well, when you dig in more on it, it just makes you look more guilty. I'm like, guilty of what? This ain't a crime. Guilt, what? It just makes me think she has it more. Listen, if you want to side with the absolute dumbest people on Twitter, by all means, but look at me. Let's name like maybe five things that your boy has really dug in on. 1 month ago, we can go back to a little situation. If you remember, Ron Killings firing, and people swore up and down that night it was a work. And Ron Killings himself had to come out and be like, no. And then what did they say, Alex? Isn't that what he would say?
Yeah.
Then there was last year when The Rock popped up and just completely screwed up the WrestleMania plans. And they said, this is an elaborate work. No, it was not an elaborate work. And I had tried to tell people over and over and over again, tried to. There was when AEW was going to run the CM Punk footage, and people were like, it's a bait and switch. It's a work. It is not a work, guys. Okay. All right, whatever. The CM Punk thing where people swore up and down that I reported he is not coming back, as opposed to 2 months before everybody in the company being told he's not coming back. And then one by one, CM Punk, Nick Khan, Triple H, Randy Orton, Seth Rollins all confirm our timeline of events. Yeah, sure, whatever. There was even Cody Rhodes once upon a time. If you can remember far enough, Alex, this man was in All Elite Wrestling, if you remember that. And I reported his contract was coming up. He, on screen, said, the Sean Ross story is not BS. It is absolutely true. And people said, it is a work. I had to grab my camera and say, it is not a work. Believe me, guys, I am not going to sacrifice my career for this. Here's another one. Shotzi getting replaced by Alexa Bliss in the Rumble. Because Dave and Mike, correctly, by the way, this is me telling you guys that my competitors correctly reported Alexa Bliss's situation.
Yes.
And then she showed up that day. I asked what happened after they're like, LOL, the dirt sheets.
Yeah.
Wade Barrett, by the way, had to get on Twitter and be like, not Sean, he's good. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. But the other guys got it right as well. Like, they got it right as well. And then Alexa came out this week, by the way, and said, oh yeah, so about that, I got a call at midnight and we didn't finalize until 5 a.m. and I had to get on a plane. And the world is not getting smarter, Alex.
No, it's definitely not.
And you know what? That's unfortunate for like our subscription base, because we have a very smart subscription base, as you can attest
to.
We
do.
And I cannot cater to dumb people. I can't do it. If you're watching this, like, listen, you know, we're not going to lie to you about things. Listen, Alex may be a little bit biased, man. Mm-hmm. Might be, but I ain't going to lie to you.
Mm-hmm. We need this on the shot.
Yes,
it is not a work. We need that.
Sean, don't say that. You're going to rile up the grifters and marks as Atlas. I'm not going to take a shot at that person. No. It is not an individual person. I just want to make that clear. It is not an individual person.
It is not.
Go look at our Facebook comments. Please follow us on Facebook. Please. I am begging the thousands of people to watch this. Increase the intelligence base of our Facebook follows. I am begging you.
Wouldn't it be great if it was only one person? Instead, it's literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people.
I wish there was just one person.
Yeah.
That'd be very easy to ignore. Uh-huh. So, I love this sarcastic response. If she didn't have creative control, how do you explain Mystico versus Beast Mortos on Collision? So that was a funny one that I saw. Uh-huh. Oh, well... All of a sudden, her boyfriend's main eventing. I was like, are we really talking about
losing
the Hangman Page in the main event of Dynamite? As like, well, they had to politic to get that.
Yeah, she's politicking for her man.
To lose.
That's why he loses most of the matches he's in. It's like, obvious.
It's not that. Tony Khan, who is an absolute wrestling geek in the nicest way, went to CMLL and said, hey, listen, I know you guys have not liked this dude for 14 years.
Yeah.
But I got a guy that's out. He asked for some personal time off, Claudio. I got to over-deliver, and I know this market. How about we do this? And they made it happen. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Parker says, I think you're right, SRS. Monet loses to Tony and starts losing all the belts. Redeems herself next year. Well, let's lean into it. Mercedes is like, why are you hiding from me? Tony goes, to hell with that. I'm coming out. And Mercedes talks about her legacy, of which Tony says, we don't have legacies. We're all going to die. We all turn to dust. And then we'll be forgotten about.
Yeah.
But right now, I'm the world champion. And you got all those other titles, and that's great because you're a great champion, but you're not winning this championship. You may have won all the WWE titles. You may have won every other title. You're not winning this one. This one's mine. And Mercedes was like, you know, she criticized the drink first off, but she said, well, I wish we could keep this civil, but whatever. And then Tony goes, yeah, we'll eat shit, bitch. And tried to beat her up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Cool. Yeah. I am so excited for this match.
Tony, every now and then, will pull out a line that I honestly believe should be in the Hall of Fame of wrestling promo lines. Like, she does it every now and then. What was the one that she said to Mariah in their last sit-down? That was just so, like, you will fade into mediocrity. That entire promo was just fantastic. But tonight, to Mercedes, she says, you fear a normal life. I only fear a normal death.
Whew.
That's friggin' great. That gave me literal chills. That's so good, man. I honestly, I thought this was fantastic. I love that these two are so different and work so well together as different characters. I think that the match is going to be fantastic, phenomenal. I think that
breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If I had to choose, yes, I think that Mercedes loses. I think that the story set up as you can have all the belts in the world, but you can't have this one. And that her not being able to get it, and that causing a spiral where she loses the other six belts because all she's focused on is getting that title. The only thing about it, that for me is that it feels like Tony has been the champion for a very large preponderance of time over the past couple of years. And we need to get somebody else elevated to that level. It's why a few months ago I was so on board with Megan Bain shocking the world and beating Toni Storm, because another woman at that level I think is necessary for the AEW women's division to really start growing. So if Tony's going to win versus Mercedes, then we got to figure out what we're going to do with Tony going forward into All Out, Wrestle Dream. I don't think she should enter 2026 as the champion. Certainly we need to figure out what we're going to do. And that story has to be as good as this story.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that takes the title off of Toni Storm's got to be as good as this. The other way of doing it, of Mercedes just being the one who wins all of the gold, it could be interesting depending on what they do with that afterwards as well. But I do think the best story is Mercedes losing her mind as she loses the rest of her titles.
Yes. And specifically, I love the idea of Toni being her kryptonite. And who is Mercedes' hero that she always cites and references? It's Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
And one of Eddie Guerrero's most famous stories is not being able to beat Rey Mysterio.
Right.
Like that's one of the things. And I think eventually she does, but I think it's like 2 years. I think we see Mercedes beat Toni at like All In next year or the year after that or something. Like I think that's sort of her thing left to conquer, so to speak. Van Twinblade says Toni with the Full Metal Jacket is fantastic with how horrible Texas is to our community. The one Toni and I are a lot of people here. I don't know if I understood that. Toni with the Full Metal Jacket is fantastic, especially with how horrible Texas is to our community. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Now I get it. I agree. I am excited to see Toni's entrance on Saturday.
Just wonderful. I'm looking forward to it so much.
Bryce says Sean being based is such good shit. WWE or AEW should do a prison show like Johnny Cash. Yeah, well, maybe if they do a White House show like UFC's planning on it, it'll be pretty much the same. Style World says love to Jesse Davin. So shout out to our friend Jesse the Buckeye. Not to lean too much into really stupid people on social media. Right. But hey, listen, occasionally if you're on the Twitter, you're going to see people saying, yeah, Sean Ross Sapp tries to dox people. Well, as it turns out, the people that started that rumor also harassed a woman nearly to death into the hospital and accused her of running an elaborate series of burner accounts while she was actively trying not to die in the Mayo Clinic. I say this because Tony Khan did an interview, I want to say like 2.5-3 years ago. And this is after his bots comment on Twitter that got dunked on a lot. And he straight up said, guys, one day you're going to find out that a lot of these people are the same guy or orchestrated by the same guy. And quite frankly, that's what a gentleman, two gentlemen, Keem the Truth and Voice of the Marks, did discover very directly, is that a lot of those people, one guy and orchestrated by one guy. So there you go.
Yep.
Bill says, Sean getting demad. Mr. Showtime says, Sean, if you buy them puppets, does that make you the puppet master? Love y'all for the positive energy and discourse. Sure. Fightful puts out SGS for life. And Tom LaValle says, two things come from Texas, and at least I'm one of them. I think more than one thing, more than one other thing comes from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
How I feel anyway. Mm-hmm. But anyway. Tim says, I rewatched Bash at the Beach 96. The best match was Mysterio versus Psychosis. He was so young then. Mm. Ray was Scorpio and then Ray were the first two people I looked at and said, I didn't know that human beings could do that.
Right. Yeah.
Brian more or less says, need mob boss Sheeta to beat Tony at Forbidden Door. A lot of it is whether or not the visa is squared away there.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But I am picking Mercedes Moné to beat Tony Storm this week. I'm also picking Kyle Fletcher to beat Adam Cole. And I don't know if they have the odds up yet, but if you want to bet on pro wrestling, try out MyBookieAG. You see the crawl here at the bottom. Use the code FIGHTFUL or use our link in the description below. Get a $50 bonus on a $100 deposit or a $100 bonus on a $200 deposit. Bet on anything, anywhere, anytime. They have table games, a live casino, slot games. And of course, we only want you to bet what you can, and please bet responsibly. But they have a phenomenal prop bet, Alex, that I want your pick on.
Okay.
Over or under 2.5 spears in the Gunther Goldberg match on Sunday or Saturday?
I'd say over.
I'm going with the under, which is the underdog, because I think he'll hit one kick out. Then he'll go, oh no, I got a spear and jackhammer. Spear, jackhammer, kick out. And then he misses the third.
Oh, interesting.
Although it doesn't specify who delivers the spear.
Right.
Maybe Gunther does one.
I think if the match goes long enough that he tries one himself.
There you go. Use that code FIGHTFUL. Whether it's Major League Baseball, WNBA, anything you got, UFC, pro wrestling, go to mybookie.ag and use that code FIGHTFUL. They have just been lovely, lovely to deal with. Van Twinblade says, Full Metal Jacket line is only steers and queers come from Texas line, Sean.
Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah.
There you go. We have Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher defeating Bandido and Brody King. What you hear us say on this show a lot is, man, that's an incredible match. And then we talk about the next thing because it doesn't affect much by a story point. This doesn't affect things by a story point. But we're going to spend a little time on this match right here, Alex. Takeshita's insane selling of like a UFO DDT. Bandido picking up Brody King, which is just completely lost to a lot of people. Kyle Fletcher's selling is phenomenal. Brody King is miraculously over. Takeshita and Fletcher get this win. This was unbelievable.
So I've been talking on other shows about Brody King and how over he is and how great that is. And what do we do with Brody King to get him a title? And this low-key sets up Kyle Fletcher's first defense. Like, him in this match versus Brody King, I do think Kyle Fletcher beats Adam Cole, and then Kyle Fletcher having a title is awesome. I think it might be kind of a cool that... I'll put it this way. If Brody King is Kyle Fletcher's first and later last defense of the TNT title, if he holds that thing through the fall, but then loses it to Brody King in Full Gear, I think you can keep Brody King this over for that long. He's just, everybody loves him, and you can keep him hovering around that and always coming back for Kyle Fletcher to finally put him away. I don't think we need to keep, if this was a world title, I think you could give Kyle Fletcher a decent long reign. It's a TNT title. We'll put a title around his waist. He's going to look good wearing it. He's going to have great matches defending it, but he can move on to bigger and better things down the line. I think this is a really great thing to tease that. Speaking of teasing, we got Takeshita pinning Bandido. They got that title match for the ROH title. I think that, I mean, wrestling math would tell us that because Takeshita pinned Bandido, there's no way he beats him for the ROH title on Friday. But who knows? Like, I love the idea of if Fletcher wins the TNT title and Takeshita wins the ROH title, just having gold in the Dalton Callis family, especially if Okada somehow beats Omega and everybody's got gold walking down the aisle with Don Callis. He cut an amazing promo gloating about all of it. It could be really, really fun. I'm very intrigued with this, the upper mid card going into the main event scene of AEW. This match was tremendous. All four guys are brilliant. And I think that, you know, one of the four is wearing gold right now. I think you would be very, would be not implausible to think that of everybody in this match will wind up wearing gold at some point before the end of the year.
Brody King is a very good situation for AEW, a guy that is very convincing, can work his ass off, and the crowd loves him. I think Bandido probably beats Takeshita because, one, you're in Texas.
Sure.
You're hoping to bring in a Lucha fan crowd there. But Luis says, I think Bandido wins on Supercard, defends the belt on either Death Before Dishonor, Final Battle, or CMLL 92 against Místico, says Luis. I mean, that'd be
huge.
Incredible.
Huge.
I think Kyle Fletcher, Adam Cole, you going with Kyle Fletcher as well?
Yeah. Yeah, it's it's time. It's time you I know he was the ROH TV champion. That feels forever ago. Like, it's really time to put that.
2LC Photo says you mean hologram. Yeah. King of the North says Josh Alexander should carry the Maple Leaf Wrestling Championship. I mean, yeah. They have some good stuff on over there.
Yeah.
We have the FTR and Patriarchy interview, and FTR are understandably not happy that they are not in this four-way or in this three-way.
From the way they were talking, I expected the end of this segment to be them being added and it be a fatal four-way. You know, FTR not being on the card at all in feels wrong. You know what I mean? Like, you could just add a triple threat for the tag titles. Feels like there's just an extra corner that's not being utilized properly. So just put another team in there and FTR would be the one to do it.
Now, the Patriarchy being added definitely slows down and FightfulSelect.com, please subscribe, reported a bunch of this. I think that's the difference between about 500 and 1,000 tickets, them reuniting for a show like this. I don't think Toronto needs it. I don't think they need it. Listen, and Vicky asked if we had heard anything about Sting. We had reported that he's expected to be involved or around. He's going to be in town. So obviously, like, that's the latest of what we've heard there. But later on, Christian and Nick Wayne, they take a chair to Bobby Lashley's knee. Now, this starts a domino effect because MJF is wanting them to have his back during the talky talk.
Yeah.
Hurt Syndicate see that Jet Speed, one of which I interviewed for this week's Fightful interview, and Speedball snuck in on our Raw review the other night. They stole the belts. They lured them out. Christian ends up attacking Lashley, so now Lashley's going to be super pissed. You do have this looming FTR thing. We're going to talk about all that stuff I just mentioned. FTR had an unbelievable match with Outrunners on Collision, and the Outrunners needed that match. The Outrunners needed a match to show people they're not the meme team, and they had a promo as well. Do you think FTR ends up integrated into this, or are they just completely off the show or in the gauntlet?
They mentioned, like, having, you know, like the Christian and Nick Wayne said, if you have our backs, you scratch our backs, we'll scratch yours, meaning it's a three-way. So is it legal for them to just attack them? And if so, if you do that and you cause us to get the victories, then we'll get you a title match. Kind of a thing is this. I wouldn't be... If they're not on the card, I expect them to be in the building doing something. But yeah, this is... Yeah, we'll see how much intrigue is put into the tag team division after this. The way that you were talking about, like, we want to do FTR versus Christian and Cope for All Out. I think you're right. We should have done it here. But if you're going to do it for All Out, well, that time's a wasting. We're dwindling. You know what I mean? So right now, Christian is still fully heel, and so are FTR. So where does we got to get to that point So we'll see how all of this goes. I think that the full falling out, the full falling out of Nick Wayne and Christian Cage has to happen before we get Adam coming out and helping them, helping Christian versus versus FTR. So there's a lot of story beats that gotta happen. So
I want to clarify something. I misspoke earlier. Ray says Monet over Tony. You said the opposite on the hump. No, no, no. I've got Tony over Monet. I misspoke. Yeah. I just want to be clear. Sorry about that. DeLeo says, in storyline, why are the patriarchy in this match? I don't want them in this match. That's the thing. Like, I'm like, Christian barely wrestles. Why, within the context of the story, should they be, okay, they beat Big Bill and Brian Keith. Cool. That's great. That's nice. Mm-hmm. When's the last time they won a tag team match together?
It was
December.
Yeah, been a while.
December.
Right.
There was no reason to put them in this match from a kayfabe standpoint. It doesn't make sense.
Right.
And there are other ways. Like, literally. Patriarchy versus FTR to get this spot in the match. Then Nick Wayne loses that. Okay, then you can start the descent. Then you can start that.
Yeah, you could.
Well, I just want to say, the patriarchy and Jetspeed laid out Shelton and Bobby Lashley. And when I say, like, Jetspeed did, but the patriarchy beat the living dog shit out of Bobby Lashley. Yeah. They concertoed his knees.
Yes, they did.
They were like Eddie and Charlie Murphy beating up Rick James. Mm-hmm. Like Bobby Lashley did something to the patriarchy's couch, and they were giving him some help. They were tearing him up.
Yeah,
it was bad.
It's true, Brian. It's true. It's Brian. The only explanation.
I loved this beating. I loved this ass whooping. After all the weeks of ass whoopings they've handed out. Mm-hmm. It felt very good.
Well, like this, I am, because, okay. This all took place after the talkie talk, which I'm assuming when we're going to talkie talk
we'll
about.
Get, we'll at some point. That. Yes, yes.
But MJF ran away from Briscoe, leaving Shelton and Bobby to take beatings without him helping them. And I wonder if that adds to what is every second that goes by with this breakup of the Hurt Syndicate not happening is bad, because I've never liked them together. It's never worked for me. So if this is what starts it, fine. If them losing the titles because Bobby Lashley's knees barely function, because he took a beating, because MJF ran away from Mark Briscoe, like, if that's part of all of this, like, I think that you add Christian Cage and Nick Wayne to this match to give more of an opportunity for the Hart Syndicate to lose the titles. And to me, I that just seems like a shame, because we basically ruined Private Party to put the titles on the Hart Syndicate.
I agree.
And they haven't felt like they've been really tag champs. They felt like they've just been deciding whether or not to accept MJF into their group more than they've been tag champs. So for them to lose the titles, that feels like everything that you ruined Private Party for now is even more meaningless. And so we got, and whoever, if it's Christian Cage and Nick Wayne, if they somehow win the titles, we're assuming they're going to break up pretty soon. So that's a tag title reign that's basically nothing. So all we can hope for is that Jetspeed win the titles and then have brilliant banger matches against everybody very often for a 6-month title reign. And I don't know if that would be the plan. The tag division in AEW should be so much better than it is right now. And all of this happening right now, I don't see if you just do this, it's all of a sudden you could build it back up again. I feel like you're going to do this and this and then this and then wait for that to happen so that you can do this. And then maybe, just maybe, we'll build it back up. Get it done now.
You need honestly, at any given time, three teams winning a lot.
Yeah.
Besides your champions, have three teams ready.
Yeah.
Three teams ready. Love for Boost says, Mia Yim's happy birthday. Shelton sign was gold. That's funny. Bryce, actually, we'll talk about the talkie talk now. We did have the talkie talk, and it went down exactly like I laid it out last week. Mm-hmm. Almost verbatim. Mr. Showtime says, by the way, Sean, great call on the MJF Briscoe brother dig. So my thing was, like, sure, he's going to say some gross stuff. It's just not going to be about Jay Briscoe.
Yeah.
That's too predictable, and MJF is aware of what would be predictable. Mm-hmm. The bigger dig is saying, no, your brother's great, and that's why I hate you.
Yeah.
It's because you are making a mockery of what you all created together. You are making a mockery of his legacy, of one of my favorite wrestlers of all time.
Yeah.
And I'm not cool with that. And that's pretty well what happened. And he said that Jay is probably looking down and is ashamed of him and would probably say, yeah, it probably should have been you in that wreck. Listen, that line wasn't for me. I don't think that needed that. I am not offended by that line because Mark Briscoe absolutely cleared it. There is, when I say zero chance he didn't, I just, I don't think it needed it, but it didn't like make me go, oh man, that was a bad promo.
Yeah.
This is how I thought it should go. It should go the different, a different direction. You see the type of person. And also it does speak volumes that MJF idolizes one of the most violent individuals in wrestling history. Like that, those are the people that he's like, what a sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
But how'd you feel about this?
I thought that they both did a really great job. My biggest thing with this is that the way that he talked about, like, you're a clown, all the shtick that you do, it's tired. And I mean, honestly, that's kind of the way I feel like it's, he's gone from hitting several notes of the same act to hitting three, then two, and then one. It's just a one note deal, all the stuff that he does. And I'm like, I know there's more depth to Mark Briscoe than that, but they've distilled him down into that crystallized character and nothing more. So what I wanted was for this thing between him and MJF, especially after the brawl, the beatdown, chasing him after, when he got interviewed by Renee, I wanted him to drop all of that stuff and just say, MJF, when I get my hands on you at All In, I am going to kill you. I want you to hear me when I say this, Maxwell. You're not making out of Texas alive. As opposed to, I'm like, that's just the same crap that you've been doing the whole time. You haven't changed at all. You got called out on all your bullshit, and you just decided to do more bullshit.
Like, yeah.
That's not a character arc. I want to see the character change.
And I think that's, and Dave Cost says, call me soft. I know Mark definitely cleared it, but I felt uncomfortable about the monologue, not in the this is fun way. I just didn't, because Mark is going to be very selective of who evokes his brother's name. And this is a program that MJF, former world champion MJF, main evented the biggest attended show in wrestling, one of the most attended ever, wanted Mark Briscoe, wanted this program. And what I think is, after MJF beats Mark Briscoe, I think that's when Mark is like,
let's hope,
you know, I don't like him, but he's not wrong, type of thing. And I could also see them having a match and him saying, you know, you're not going to be long for this world either.
Right.
By the time this is done. But I'm not sending you with Jay. I'm sending you to hell, type of thing. Like, Jared says, Max called Mark Briscoe a poor. Do you know how much eggs cost right now? Mark, how is Mark not AEW's million-dollar man? So I think it would work, especially had NXT not done a really good version with Cameron Grimes a few years ago. But, like, Mark Briscoe, that's why I say, like, you can't do the million-dollar man thing. But with these Tony Khan $400,000 matches,
that would have been so great if he pulls up in a in like I don't know, man, like a Bentley or some ridiculous, incredibly expensive car, and he gets out and he goes to the valet, hands him his keys. And then he reaches into his inside pocket of his tuxedo jacket and pulls out an egg and hands it to him. You keep the change. You know, like he's paying for stuff with eggs. And everyone's like, oh, my God, thank you. This is worth so much. There could be a lot of
I say this happened in the 90s. You know what I would love? I would if like Eric Bischoff did the WCW $500,000 10-man tag. Yeah. I would love if like they did those once a month, like just somehow El Dandy is always on the winning team.
Yeah.
And then somehow like by the end of the year, you realize El Dandy's accrued like $4 million and he's just wearing all this extravagant stuff. I want to see that out of somebody in AEW where they're like just subtly accruing an awful lot of money.
Yeah,
and you don't know why. And they never mention it. And then all of a sudden he's got some extravagant purchase.
Yeah,
that turns the tides. Valab says they saw the reaction to last week's segment and corrected it. Thanks, Mercedes, for fixing the creative. This is a meme I can get behind.
Yeah, it's good.
Thank you, Mercedes, for booking the end of All In.
Yes. Oh,
thank you. When Hangman wins, let's all tweet hashtag thank you.
Thank
Mercedes.
You, Mercedes. Yes.
Frank M says only way patriarchy makes sense is add FTR, have them beat the dog shit out of Christian. Mm-hmm. Wayne deserts him and Copeland makes the save.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
I kind of like that. I like that as a Cope returning at All In as well.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, if I were FTR, I would be pretty pissed. That, like, you think we're going to be your errand boys? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Luis mentions Mike Bailey would be really good for the $1 million. He would be great because he's like the nicest human being ever.
It's true.
He really is. Dave Koss says, I love Adam Cole, but him saying his reign has been an A popped me. He's been on commentary more than actually wrestling. TNT title needs Fletcher. It's been a bad reign. And it ain't his fault. He don't book the show. They got to book it better. They got to book a lot of this stuff better. And my hope is now with one less title, they will. I hope so. Terry Allen Jr. says, B-word being said at Women in Wrestling too much. Are there other words? Adam Cole never appeared on Dynamite since winning the title. Strange. Yeah, they need to book that better. Oh, I think within the sake of women doing that, I don't mind it. I don't mind Tony doing it. But yeah, Adam Cole needed to be booked better, Terry. We got Bobby White saying, do you think when Mercedes does lose and starts to lose all of her titles, do you think people she lose titles to will become big future stars of AEW, but sign them before they become another Stephanie Vaquer situation? Mm. Well, it depends on who it is. Like, yeah. Each one of these companies is going to decide. And if you are Mercedes, you know that you are bulletproof. You know that you are good to go. You are made. You are set. You don't need to be worried about putting anybody over.
Yeah.
Bryce says, any chance we see the Bang Bang Gang return by the end of the summer or start of the fall? The recent post of one of the Gun Brothers, any word on the status of Juice? Juice was working towards a comeback in April and May. I haven't heard an update. Switchblade's out. That's all I can say. Switchblade's out. The Guns are not hurt from what I understand. So, okay. Dave Koss says, on the media call, Tony confused me even more on the explanation of the Unified International Continental titles. Please coach me up on this, fellas. It is the same as the WWE title and the Universal title that they kept on the WWE website. Cody Rhodes, by all intents and purposes, won both of those belts, regardless of what they say. But here it is. Okada is Continental Champion. Kenny is International Champion. They are unifying that. It will be represented by one championship belt. Whoever holds that belt from here on forward is considered carrying the lineage of those two previous championships as well.
Yeah.
Vin says, give me Briscoe's millions. Mark has to spend $2 million of MJF's money in order to win it. Love you, Sean. For me and Emilio Sparks. I love Emilio Sparks. I love Emilio Sparks. Oh, man, I'll tell you what else I love. NordVPN.com/Fightful, by God. 30-day money-back guarantee. So everything I'm about to tell you, you can try it out. For some reason, you don't like it, they'll give you your money back. This weekend, if you want to watch WWE on one subscription, get NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can get over 2 months or 2 years and 4 months for less than 1 month of television service. Get a Netflix account, change your virtual location. You have access to all that. Maybe you're like, well, Sean, that $2 or something a month is just too much for me, and I got to buy All In this weekend. Well, how would you like to pay half for All In? Change your virtual location, pay what they're paying overseas, save $20. That sounds like a pretty darn good deal to me. NordVPN.com/Fightful. They have a plethora of other benefits and just wonderful things like protecting your online data, shielding it from snoops and criminals, protecting yourself on public Wi-Fi. This also works on all your devices and operating systems. So if you are, if you're on the move and you're like, you know what, I still want to do this, NordVPN.com/Fightful has you covered. If you are in the chat and use NordVPN.com/Fightful, let us know. Kenny and Okada vignette. Okada says he'll kill Kenny. That bastard.
It's a great vignette.
It was a phenomenal vignette.
Yeah.
Good way to hype it up. WrestleTix update. Shout out to WrestleTix. Please support original creators like them. 22,250 tickets distributed out of the current allotted 24,000. This is the North American record for AEW. Mm-hmm. It is the highest North American number in over 25 years for a non-WWE company.
Yep.
Listen, I'm sure they would love to have 40,000 sitting in that venue. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a realistic goal. The walk-up is going to continue. They're moving about 600-700 tickets a day.
Yeah.
I wonder how that walk-up will be day of, especially because nowadays people, they just buy late, and if AEW needs to open up more seats, they know that they're going to open up more seats.
Yeah,
I could see them hitting 25,000, and that is a remarkable success, Alex. What does this say to you? I know a lot of people are like, well, what about 80,000, then to 60,000, now to 25? Listen, compared based on the market, take a look at TNA. TNA did a lot of their strongest houses in the UK. But how is this for you, Alex?
I mean, listen, the original A and L in is that caught lightning in a bottle because it was a major happening. They'd never go to the UK. The UK, by all the metrics, has like the percentage of wrestling fans in the UK who are more into AEW than WWE. That was going to drive all the sales. It was a major event. It was a first time ever thing. People wanted to go to be part of the first time ever, to be part of the big record. And then the next year it dwindled. It was like, it was never going to like surpass it. And so this is the first time they've ever even attempted to like go outside of an arena to do any kind of like an actual stadium show. They tested the market last year when they did that residency. The people there were big fans. I think that you are correct that there were some matches they could have put on the card.
Sure.
That would have driven more tickets to people to specifically see those matches. But I think that 25,000 is not a number that anybody can look at in good faith and be like, that's nothing. I mean, come on. The stadium holds 40,000, so 25,000 is a failure. Well, compared to other, like, I think that it's a great omen because I remember us starting to cover AEW when it started 5 years ago, 6 years ago. Can they even fill a 10,000 seat arena where they're going to like double that plus 5,000? Like that's a great thing. And it's, again, it's only been 6 years. And yeah. And yes, they're obviously the number two act in the country, but this is the strongest that a number two act in the country has been in 30 years. So like that's awesome.
We had Ricochet defeating Blake Christian, who was interviewed on In the Weeds today. And I just want to specify, I love Blake Christian. I thought this promo that he cut inside of the inset promo was very good, talking about how they took out Lee Johnson, so he's on his own. And again, I just want to make this clear. I find Blake Christian to be one of the most improved wrestlers over the last 3 years. It should not have taken all three of them to beat Blake Christian, who, by the way, impressed. It was a fantastic match.
Yeah.
It was great. And honestly, makes him look a million times better, which I like.
It does. It does.
I would like to see him and Lee Johnson featured more regularly. And if this is a catalyst for that, I would be a big fan of that.
Yeah. I do wonder if this is just like, yeah, well, these, I've been a bad guy for my entire run in ROH. As part of me being a bad guy, I asked to join this bad guy's faction he's building. That bad guy got other bad guys to beat me up. Now I'm a good guy. I've never liked those kind of face turns. But I think he has certainly, all he has to do is tweak the dial like half a turn, and all of a sudden he's a baby face, because the maneuvers that he does are very face like.
Yes.
But I don't know if that's what this is officially, or if this is the beginning of it, or if this is a one off and he's gonna do more ROH stuff. Just like Ricochet is amazing, and Ricochet is depending on what they're gonna do with MJF. If MJF doesn't win the gauntlet because Místico stops him, and that's the beginning, that's the furthering of that to do more of that in CMLL, or Briscoe stops him to like further that non-title thing they're gonna do into the fall. A dark horse guy to win the gauntlet and be Hangman's first challenger, Ricochet, with the Gates of Agony, is a brilliant choice. Like Ricochet being elevated to having a world title shot that he's going to lose because it's Hangman's first defense, but sure. Hangman going from out of the frying pan into the fire, because he's got to get through all the Death Riders to then finally become champion, but then he's got to worry about Toa Leona hitting him in the back of the head a bunch of times. You know, like that's a really good thing to do for Hangman. I think that could be Ricochet is my dark horse. I still think it's MJF that's going to win the gauntlet, but if it's not him and they need a heel to get the first title shot against Hangman, Ricochet is a great choice.
Ben Twinblade says, Knox, the baldest ref, called Ricochet bald. Bald on bald violence has to stop. Watching tonight's main event now. Damn good show. It was a fun show, yeah. Parker Hines says, think AEW will use Jacksonville's stadium 1 year. Yeah, probably. I mean, I don't see why not. It would need to make a lot of sense. Honestly, I think they would need a really, really big, big card to draw people there.
You gotta have the exact right match, but you make the match 6 months ahead of time, if not longer. You do a once in a lifetime The Rock versus John Cena type of thing, as big as you can possibly make it, and you sell the stuff based on that. And then every month you add another, oh my God, I can't believe they're doing this match to that card. I think you could get a really good good house in that stadium.
Yeah, and I mean, like, listen, right now, I'll give you guys a little fun fact. Dallas is the 9th biggest city in the U.S. by population. Jacksonville is 10th. However, Fort Worth is 11th. So that should show you the benefit that you have of going to an area like Dallas, where it is a gigantic city. For the number two spot in the women's casino, Megan Bain defeated Tekla, Ty Mello, and Queen Aminata. You also had Queen Aminata just and Tekla beating the shit out of each other to the point to where over the last month, so many people are like, do they really hate each other? To me, Eloquence says they should put Tekla and Aminata on 0 hour. Well, we reported on Fightful Select. The Jamie Hayter injury definitely caused a lot of dominoes to fall there. And that's unfortunate, but, Tony Khan really put over Queen Aminata, and I'm happy because Queen Aminata is a badass, man.
She's a badass. She's statuesque. She's beautiful. She can go. She hits like a truck. I love her persona. All of it. All of it works on me. And yes, it's unfortunate, of course, that Jamie Hayter got injured. But it's fortunate that we get to see Aminata placed in this place on the card and utilized like this, because I'm telling you, this is the kind of woman that I think you could have her elevated over the next 6 months to a year, where it would not be at all out of the question for her to be the world champion at some point in the middle of 2026. Like, that's how much she's grown. That's how much people love watching her. That's what the kind of threat that she is. I think that she's fantastic, and you need to build women like this so that they get on the level of all the top women. You want to have parity at the top, because right now we have a lot of parity on the undercard, and they're all great, but you got to figure out a way to like make sure we see them as the equals of all the women who've been world champion before.
So, listen, this is obviously effective. You're going to put this in the casino gauntlet. Who are you expecting to win that match? Both casinos, who are you expecting to win?
Well, I think MJF wins the men's. If he doesn't, then Ricochet is a good one. For the women, it's so wide open. It really is. Particularly if Tony wins, like, because she could have a program with anybody and make it phenomenal. She would find a way to make whoever she is facing seem like $1 million ahead of the match, and then the match would be great. If Mercedes is somehow winning the title, then I think that I would not hate at all. I mean, I think that the obvious one to do would be Willow to take the title off of her and start a descent at that point. But also Stat versus Mercedes 3, where Stat beats her this time for the title, would be great. But Stat was the one that was really interesting to me, of Stat, and because Toni Storm was doing a lot of on commentary during the Owen Hart tournament, and she was talking up Chris Statlander a lot, and I'm like, I don't feel like we've seen that nearly enough. That would be a kind of a cool one, especially because she's got this really great, I don't know if I'm a bad guy or a good guy right now. Which one do I want to be? Which one would I be if nobody else was here? Like, all that kind of a stuff. So that would be really cool. I think Stat would probably be my pick. Because I think that also there's that interesting thing of like, what do you do with Willow as part of this outside looking in? There's great stuff.
We've got N. Simmons saying, one change I need for Ricochet on screen is more promos. He's been killing them backstage. Love GOA and him together. They look great doing the poses. They do look great together. And Ricochet is really raised up to the occasion. Mm-hmm. He has been fantastic in these opportunities.
Yeah.
Brian more or less has loved this group. Need to know what to call them soon. I'm with you on Ricochet winning the casino gauntlet. Could also see a trios run afterwards. Yeah. Assuming they give a shit about the trios division, which is what I hope.
We got a bit of a preview of what they're actually going to do with that, because on Collision, Claudio called out the ops for a trios match, and I was like, with what third guy? Mox isn't pulling double duty. Pac, I don't think, is healthy yet. What's
yeah, your boys? Your boys at Fightful Select reported that today, and then
it's Gabe Kidd.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. What the hell is a Gabe Kidd doing in Arlington, Texas? Meme right here. But yeah, we'll find out more about that. King Nerd says, I trained with Aminata. She hits hard for sure. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. N. Simmons says, I'm sold on Tekla from that entrance. Aminata is a star. I love seeing my people get opportunities. Megan Bain, that running power bomb. Oh my God. It's great. I think Megan Bain is a person you raise to that level, but I want to know what the hell they're doing with the tag team titles. Honestly, I had hoped that they had heard the reaction to the ROH women's pure title and been like, okay, we're not going to do that. Instead, we'll do women's tag titles because that makes a lot more sense. Yeah. But Tekla is somebody I knew would transition better to American TV.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe defeated Wheeler Yuta and Gabe Kidd attacked Joe afterwards. Mm-hmm. As we mentioned, that set up the trio's title match for this weekend. Listen, Gabe Kidd is one of my favorite performers in the world. You know, it's funny, Alex.
What's that?
I say that about Shuri Kondo and Gabe Kidd. Mm-hmm. And I don't ever hear people accusing them of being my sources. Mm. But if I mention, oh no, Karrion Kross actually does take flat back bumps. And hey, maybe they should have put the Kabuki Warriors in a qualifying match with the only other team on Raw. People are like, well, clearly he's Natty and Cross are sources. That's got to be it.
Yeah.
Right? that's got to be it.
That's how you do it.
I'm like, Chelsea Green is funny. And they go, well, that's where he's been getting those rundowns at for the last eight years.
That is your very easily breakable code. If you just talk good about people, that's how you're confirming that they are your sources.
It's like, man, well, if I knew that was the secret, I would have put over CM Punk his entire career. Oh, wait, I did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait,
mm-hmm.
I did.
You did, yeah.
Yeah, that one's – I'm excited to see Gabe Kidd, the new Dijak. All he said on the show was, yeah, people go to Fightful when they're not fired to find out who is fired. And people were like, Dijak was feeding him stuff, and I'm like, are you all dumb? He literally said that he comes to our site to find things out that he doesn't know. Oh, my God. I don't know how that one stuck. Like, oh, wait, yeah, I do. The same thing we talked about earlier. People are stupid. Like, yes, I sincerely would love somebody who really, really believes this type of stuff.
Yeah.
Or believes that on the payroll to have an on-screen, probably a Twitter Spaces debate.
Yeah,
that's usually where I do the Jubilee 1 versus 100 type of thing and knock some people down. But please, sign up somewhere, guys. I would love to go at this. Oh, man. John Moxley, Claudio, and the Bucks defeated Will Ospreay, Hangman Page, Hobbs and Shibata. But the real story about this was the end of the show. You have Swerve channeling his inner Stone Cold and apparently and very effectively running heavy machinery. Honestly, I was very impressed.
Yeah.
The accuracy of this. He destroyed the limo.
Yeah.
Mike M saying, Swerve quoting Hangman burning down his house before destroying the limo is cinema. Not only that, he quote tweeted a Fightful article where John Moxley today said, I don't know why Hangman apologized for that. That was cool as hell, which objectively hilarious. hilarious. But Swerve said, WTF, what's going on here?
Yeah.
How'd you feel about this? The match, the angle, all that stuff as they set it up.
The match was tremendous. It was really well done. Shibata taking the L feels like, you know, the guy you'd have to do that here. Swerve not being on the show in any capacity kind of let me know he was doing something at the end of the show. When we saw him in the cab of the backhoe,
the close-up, I was like, thank you. Because I requested this specifically last week. You can't have the heels cruise around town in a very expensive vehicle that they bought, showing it off to everybody and lording it over everyone without having the baby faces destroy that vehicle. Sure. And it just took them an extra week. And I'm glad that it took them the extra week because this, the, this payoff was tremendous. But yes, quoting Hangman about vengeance and peace was just beautiful. But I also love that he has not actively helped Hangman. He's just hates the Bucks.
Yeah.
And I think very strongly at this point, when, not if, when Ospreay and Swerve lose that tag match to the Bucks, at that point, it's no longer, doesn't matter anymore. Like, it doesn't matter anymore to Swerve. He can't face Hangman for the title if Hangman wins. So it's better for Hangman to be the champ than for Moxley to be the champ. And at the very end, after everything that happens, he's going to come out and be the final savior. I think that would be a really cool thing to happen. I think that is a really, really, the more I thought about it, the more I really love the idea of Ospreay and Swerve can't challenge for that title for a year. Because after the match that Swerve had, that Ospreay had with Hangman, you would think he would want to get another shot at Hangman, this time for the gold.
Sure.
But you can't. You're not allowed to. Swerve would move heaven and earth to get a shot at Hangman and the world title. Doesn't matter. You can't get it. Even if you move heaven, even if you move earth, even if you move the other planets, can't do it. So I love that, that now you can figure out a bunch of other people that you can elevate to that level to make them seem like world champion dudes. You're obviously going to do an MJF feud with Hangman at some point, but there's a bunch of other guys that you can do as well. Ricochet would be a great one. And while we're doing that, you could have Swerve and Swerve blame Ospreay for it. They can feud. They could make up. They could become the tag champs. They could. There's nothing that says that one of them can't be the new unified champ. Could I, like, if, like, there's a great, we haven't done a Swerve versus Omega match. That could be something we just do that. Like, there's a lot of great stuff that you can do. And the best part about it is that it solves all those problems with, well, how do you keep Swerve away from Hangman? Well,
yeah,
you do it because now that's a rule. You have to. That's a really good idea.
Get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. A reminder, we have post shows all weekend. We would greatly appreciate if you guys shared those, if you left thumbs ups on those. I know it seems like very, very elementary, but it helps us an awful lot with spreading the word. On Twitter, at any given time, I tweet like four different versions of the stream and the link and all of that. That stuff helps us out a lot too. Coy Stallings says, percent chance Eddie Kingston showing up at All In. I'm going to say a good 50-50 shot at that because he's nearing that year mark, but I know his injury was a lot worse than most. But I think it's a realistic possibility that he, Darby, and Sting all show up.
I would love to see a close-up at the beginning of All In of a little of a door, the Don Callis family logo on it or whatever. And then out from the door comes John Moxley, just walks away. But he's recruited the Don Callis family to have their back in this big thing. So we have as many guys as possible on the bad guy side. So that when we need people on the babyface side to counteract those bad guys as part of this Texas death match, one of those guys can be surprise Eddie Kingston. And he doesn't take out Moxley. But he takes out Claudio and makes sure Moxley sees him do it would be a really, really good thing. And all he's got to do is like spin a back fist or douse a guy in gasoline. It really doesn't have to be much. He doesn't have to like do a lot of moves, but he just takes out Claudio and makes Moxley see him do it would be great.
Dave Cost says, I really don't want anyone touching Hanger Mox, but can see that Brian knee to Mox. It will be earned. So I'm cool with it. P P.S. I have a few super chats unread early. Oh, we got them. Don't worry.
We got them. We'll get them.
We got this one that says, I wish I was a new fan right now because seeing Hanger stand tall, pretty much this whole build tells me, no, they won't do this to us, right? So I've got plenty of thoughts on that, and it leads into Brian's super chat. But first off, I want to say this. Yes, I would love that. I would actually really like if – I think a cool way would be if nobody else hits the ring.
Yeah.
Like, if it all goes there and it all exists within the outsides of the ring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brian more or less poses a really good one. Actually, no, it just disappeared. Or it was a different one. My God. Where'd it go? Damn it. Oh, well, I'll get back to it in a moment. Oh, no, it was Kidam. Sorry. Says, what would be a worse reality? John Moxley beating Hangman or Goldberg beating Gunther?
No, John Moxley beating Hangman is the worst reality.
I agree.
I mean, I fully expect WWE to make crazy decisions like that all the time. And honestly, it doesn't do anything because what are they going to do? They're probably going to have Gunther put the title up and he'll retire. And then the title will be, oh, we're going to do a bunch of four ways. And then the winners of that will face each other at SummerSlam. We'll get a new champion and we'll move past it. We won't even mention it again by the fall. But if Moxley beats Hangman, that craters all of the goodwill and momentum that AEW has been building. That would be
completely
so much
agree.
Worse.
We've seen WWE do dumb shit like this a number of times. Now, granted, it was in the Vince regime. But I think it'd be way worse.
Yeah.
Way worse. Sorry, that one took me a little bit longer to track down, guys. But do you think Scorpio Sky shows up on Saturday? Yeah, I think he's probably in the gauntlet. I think that makes sense.
I would hope so. I really like the idea of him in Top Flight.
Yeah.
They calling them Sky Flight is perfect. Like, yes. That's a team that I could absolutely see being a threat in the trios division. I think they would be really, really great as a trio. But yeah, I'm so happy for Scorpio Sky. I'm so happy that he's back on TV. I'm happy that he's got his own faction. Christopher Daniels as basically their manager, at least for that one first segment, was great. I love it. Great stuff.
Brian more or less says, I really want Mox holding a kneeling Hangman in place for Swerve to hit him, only for Swerve to hit Mox with the house call and then walk away. I think that would kind of telegraph it. I listen, I like the idea of nobody touching them more, mm-hmm. but I'm a little bit.
I think the only one who's allowed to hit Moxley is Danielson.
Yeah.
I think that's the only guy, because that's the dude who needs to get the revenge. Moxley getting hit by nobody, but Danielson's the one to do it. That's the one guy who deserves his lick back for sure.
Dave Koss says, you have the authenticity of a spray tan in a rainstorm. You have the emotional depth of a kiddie pool. Tony has reached icon one of one status, boys.
So good.
It's fantastic. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And Dave says, hit me with how you guys would work this match card. I'm not a fan of the triple main event going back to back to back normally, but I'd open with the tag. Open with the tag or yeah. Mercedes and Tony. And then what I would do is I'd probably put Mercedes Tony next to last is what I would do.
That's what I would do too.
I mean, honestly, you probably put a gauntlet first because you got to split those up, right? As much as possible.
Yeah, you got to split the two gauntlets. So
I would say maybe women's gauntlet. First off, you got to have an insane match kick off the show.
Yes.
But I could see them going women's gauntlet early, men's gauntlet later, women's title semi-main, and then the world title main. And then everything else is just like however you deem it. Because they're all going to be slappers. There's nobody's getting the bring them down match.
Right. No, they don't have one of those on the card.
I would probably start, yeah, with Ospreay and Swerve, especially if they lose. Like, oh no, what happens now? Oh, the men's gauntlet happens now, or the women's gauntlet happens now. Oh, that's fine. That's going to be great. And then you can break up the gauntlets with Adam Cole and Kyle Fletcher, with the tag team triple threat, with the trios match. You can find ways of breaking all of separating those gauntlet matches. But I absolutely agree. Second to last, Tony and Mercedes. And finally, obviously, is that Hangman and Mox match.
Anthony says, who debuts in the Women's Casino Gauntlet? Luis speculates Miyu Yamashita. I mean, but that wouldn't be technically debuting, would it? She's been there before. But listen, Siri Kondo is always going to be my answer. It's always going to be my dream. I think she's the best. I don't think you need debuts. You can bring back Britt Baker, for the love of God. You can do things like that. I think a really cool moment in that would be if after they have surely a slapper of a match, Athena and Thunder Rosa are face to face in the casino gauntlet, and then the music hits. The doctor will see you now, and Thunder Rosa's like, this bitch. Mm-hmm. And that would be a cool moment. I would really like that. Anybody you're thinking of as a return or debut?
The debuts are difficult because all those women that we think have those 90 days, the 90 days is after All In.
And Shayna even, and Shayna's doing producer work in NXT.
Yeah. It's a difficult kind of thing to call for debuts, but I think some major returns would be in order for them.
We're wrapping up. Get your super chats, get your humper chats. Tom says men's gauntlet first, then MJF leaves the building, pissed he didn't win, starts their breakup, and Ruby Soho to return from maternity. That's a good one. Harley Cameron. Maybe she's back in the fold as well after being out for a while. I think that one makes a lot of sense. In Simmons says he has a great idea for the gauntlet. It's very clear Bowens is turning heel, and I think Bowens never making it out, or the match ends as the clock hits zero for him to come out, and he snaps is amazing. I like that idea, honestly. I think that's pretty good. I really, really like that idea. I think that would be a good catalyst for him to start that descent. I think that would work pretty well. Dave Costas, did you catch the Omega interview on Wrestling Observer? My first takeaway is the temper expectations about the callbacks to the first four matches and their ability, which is smart. I did. I listened to Dave talk about his appendicitis for 12 minutes. I did listen to that interview. Listen, I think Kenny is managing expectations.
Yeah,
I think that's what he's doing because he's a smart guy. But Kenny is all. I just want to say this. I love interviewing Kenny. Kenny is full of shit. He is so full of shit. He is the guy that he is the smartest. Him and Gabe Kidd, coincidentally, are the smartest about interviews because what he'll do is do a shoot interview and work a kayfabe line in. And by that, I mean three different things. When I did a media call with him and he said, all these Japanese guys over here are lazy. I don't like them. They don't work as hard as us. And then all the Japanese fans got super pissed off at him about it. And then I did an interview while he was out because he wanted to promote Forbidden Door. But what he really wanted to promote was him facing Will Ospreay down the line. He goes, it's really great that he's proud of that. And I remember my first 5-star match and that's really cute. And then he knew that Will would flip out about it. And then he says about Gabe Kidd, and I quote, I don't know him from a glory hole in the wall. And I said, Kenny, why'd you use that terminology? Why did you specifically add the term glory unto hole? He knows what he's doing. He's very smart.
Oh, yeah.
TJ Ridgeway says, I miss Keith Lee so much. That's a person I'm hoping is back in the casino.
That would be wonderful.
Also a person that I hope after this is coming for Swerve. Because it's been a year and a half since they were supposed to blow that off. But
yeah,
Alex, tell the people what you got going on.
Well,
reviewing All In on this very channel. And normally, Kate and I review the NXT Plez. We're still doing it. It just won't be until the following day. We're going to try and figure out a way to get that as like a matinee on Sunday to make sure that gets reviewed. But we won't be able, we're not watching that while All In is happening if we're going to review All In on this particular channel right afterwards. So we'll probably also, when we talk about that, we'll probably do a little reaction. Kate has agreed that if Goldberg beats Gunther, we will do an emergency pod about that only after Saturday night's main event. But I fully expect us to be talking about All In while that match is going on, because that's how long I expect All In to be going on. But yes, there's other some surprise things that we have in the works, not involving Freddy or whether or not he gets fingered.
Guys, please check out all of our content this week. There is too much to even mention. We have links all over the place. Think of the platform. We're on it. I do want to tell you guys, visit Fightful.com. I feel like I don't plug the actual site that much. That's where you can get all of our podcasts, all of our interviews. We have a phenomenal resources section that we're refining and stuff. We did a migration. It looks really pretty over there. I'm going to pull up a little screenshot of our new page because I was like, hey, can we get that red out of here? It's just not easy on the eyes. Can we do a little bit of something else? So we have this beautiful blue layout. We have more free content than any wrestling website out there, by the way, of interviews, podcasts, articles. We transcribe so much of this stuff, but look at that. Look at that. That's a nice little look. Nice little look. Yeah, I want to thank MyBookie. Check them out. Check out NordVPN.com/Fightful. But as always, please check out Fightful.com. Until next time, we're out.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.